If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
Assalamu alaikum and peace. Welcome to this episode, Misconceptions. I'm your host for today, Muhammad Hashim, and we have in our studios today our special guest, Sheikh Yusuf Estes from America. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
And also with us today, we have a very, very special audience also. Assalamu alaikum to our audience.
Wa alaikum salam
wa rahmatullah.
Today, inshallah, we're going to answer and deal with some of the misconceptions about Islam. So we're going to begin with what Islam actually means, the actual word Islam. So Sheikh, what does that mean, the meaning of Islam, the misconception of that, the meaning of just Islam?
Oh, that's an excellent question. And these misconceptions are so wide and ranging that you might be surprised. Let's take, for instance, from our audience and find what are some of the things that you've heard what Islam means. Yes, brother, go ahead.
Some say it means terrorism.
Islam means terrorism. Okay, yes, brother.
Also, I heard means jihad.
It means jihad.
Yeah. Well,
one Arabic word means another Arabic word, okay? How about you, brother?
I heard it means peace.
You heard peace?
Yes, peace.
So everything from terrorism to peace, this would be pretty much an entire dictionary in one word.
So, Sheikh, we have a lot of, I guess, misconceptions there. What can we begin with, the meaning of Islam, the meaning of the word?
Yes, Muhammad. One of the things that I did in the very beginning was to learn what these words actually meant from the dictionary or the etymology of the words, then also how the words are implied within Islam, the religion itself. And what we find is that this comes from a root, and Arabic is a root-driven language, having more than 5,000 roots. And from this root, which is three letters, Sin, Lam, Mim, pronounced Silm, and many, many hundreds of words come from this one root. And then when it goes in the direction of this one way called aslama, that's a verb, an action. And then from it comes the noun Islam. So how do we understand what is Islam exactly? Is to know what is aslama. And we could not find a single word in English representing this word. In fact, in no language did we find an exact translation. That's why in all of the translations of Quran to the English language, it's the one word you never find translated. It will just say Islam.
Okay.
That's it. Now, here are some of the words that are contained inside this word. And they all need to be present simultaneously together. Surrender is the first one. Now, we Muslims are getting pretty good at surrendering in different countries like Afghanistan. And, you know, so surrender, we've got that. The next part, though, is submission. To submit completely and totally. And to obey at the same time and do it in sincerity. Now, we're going to stop right there on that word before I go to the fifth word. Because in order to be sincere, it has to come from the heart. And you can never force people to be sincere. This immediately stops the idea that some people might have saying that Islam was spread by force or by the sword or put on people from the standpoint that you have to accept Islam. It cannot be because you can't force people to be sincere. There's an old Arabic adage that we borrowed in Texas. We say you can lead the horse to water. Well, the Arabs say you can lead the camel to water, but you can't make it drink. Mm. This is more so true of a camel than a horse, by the way, because when a camel drinks, they store up for a number of days, up to a week, week and a half of storage of water. So obviously, once they're full, they're not going to want any more. The same is true about a person. You can't force them to believe, and you can't force them to be sincere.
Yeah.
Now, the fifth word. What is the fifth word? This is the word salam. This is the word salam. Now, peace is how we understand it when we greet each other, as we did in the beginning of the program. We started, we said, salam alaikum, wa alaikum salam. So the word salam was there. But we never heard anybody say, Islam alaikum. Did we?
Not.
Of course not. Because Islam doesn't mean peace. It has peace in it. And this peace is conditional on the other four words. There must be the surrender to Almighty One God, submission to His terms, and then obedience to His commands, sincerity for Him, doing what we do for His sake alone, and then we have to be in peace with whatever He gives us. We have to accept good, bad, whatever we find ourselves in a peaceful manner. If we do that with the other four, then we have Islam, the verb. Now, one who performs this verb is the Muslim. Why? Because in English we use the suffix "-er," after the verb. Whenever we say talk, talk-er, the one who does it. We say run, runner, the one who does it. Travel, traveler. Call, caller. Think, thinker. Stink, stinker. Well, anyway, you get the idea. In Arabic, though, you use a prefix, mu, prior to the verb, such as call. Instead of call-er, we say adhan, which is call. Mu'adhan, the caller. Travel, in Arabic, is suffer. Now, sometimes when I travel, I suffer, but this is not related. Actually, what is related is the word safari, because the word in English, safari, is coming from this word in Arabic, suffer. And whoever does it is a musafir. Now, if somebody is doing sully, you know, when we pray, our worship that we do, some people call it prayer, actually doesn't have a word in English either. That's why we call it prayer. But it's actually salah. And who's doing it is a musalli. Now, if somebody's doing aslama, it's logic he would be mu'aslama or Muslim. And that's the word that we use to describe ourselves in Islam as Muslim. I recall that someone once asked me, now, are you one of the Islamers or are you one of the Muslims? And you're like, what? What is this? It doesn't make any sense. But for us, we understand the word Muslim means one who really does Islam. Now, many people will say, I'm a Muslim. Many people will say, well, it's on my passport, it's on my visa, and that's my family's all Muslim, so I'm a Muslim. But the reality is, you might be to each other, but not to Him, the one Almighty God. Because the sincerity has to be there, being at peace with what happens, surrender, submission, obedience, all has to be there at the same time. So if a person is not doing those things, they're not a Muslim. It's as simple as that.
That's very, very clear meaning there, Sheikh. So that's the meaning of the word Islam. What about these misconceptions like terrorism and stuff? What can we do as Muslims to change that image?
Now that we understand the basic meaning of the word, let's look at what Islam actually is teaching us. What does the religion teach us how to understand it? Because with Islam, we find something very important. There's a principle above all other things, first and foremost, is there has to be rights and limits. If we don't have that in place, we don't have Islam. Now, this is implied. This is not by the etymology of the word now. This is what's implied from the teachings of Islam. There are rights and limits. The first and foremost right that has absolutely no compromising to it whatsoever is the right of the one Almighty God to be worshipped alone without any partners. This cannot be changed. There's no compromise to that. There's no adjustment to that. The right of Almighty God to have all your worship, thanksgiving, devotion, turning to Him, repenting to Him, all of this has to be for him alone. That's number one. So this is the only thing that there's no limit to, because there's no opposite to it.
And number two?
Not in Islam.
Not yet.
Now, the next thing after that, though, is the right of the messenger to be followed. Every single nation has had a messenger come to them. And Allah says He never punishes a nation until He sends a messenger to them. Now, who is this messenger? Well, in other programs, perhaps we'll deal with that, but we know it to be Muhammad, peace be upon him. Now, he's the last, but he's certainly not the only one. Other messengers, and we talk about that, Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Suleiman, especially Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. But the focus that we want to talk about now is just the right of any messenger to be followed by his people to the extent that they obey him. And understand he's the one telling them what God wants them to do.
Are these misconceptions, Sheikh, only from non-Muslims? Do a lot of Muslims also have misconceptions about the word Islam?
I would venture that to be a good guess. Because, first of all, we know that a lot of people have misconceptions about Islam as far as terrorism, war, things like this. But at the same time, we heard from our brothers that even some thought it meant peace, and it didn't.
Yeah, because it sounds really nice to mean peace, but I mean, it doesn't mean peace, does it?
More than that, yeah.
More than that, yeah. It doesn't mean... Okay, then, we've also, like, how can we convey a message? How can we, if you ask something like, does Islam mean terrorism, how do you respond? How do you give a proper answer if you don't necessarily know everything about Islam? Should you give a proper answer?
The correct way to present this has to be on the way of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. He's the one who gave us the minhaj, or methodology, to do that. And we can explain that in details. We can put that into details and break it down step by step.
Okay, Sheikh, I just have to put a stop to it for 1 second there. We're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back with misconceptions in 1 moment.
Huda TV is launching a new website for you, your family and friends, everyone. A new look, top level designs and better technology. You will be able to ping Huda TV's new website and read all our articles, surf our video archives, chat live on Huda's forum, vote, support our programs, and give us your suggestions or criticisms. We welcome your thoughts. We strive to please all our viewers worldwide. Huda, a light in every home.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Misconceptions. I am Muhammad Hashim, your host for today. And with us in our studio, we have Sheikh Yusuf Estes. We're talking about Islam. We're getting to some intricate meanings of the meaning Islam. And now we're going to deal with how do we respond to people who ask us about Islam. What do we say and how do we answer some of the questions?
Well, I think it's another chance for our studio audience to give some input. Perhaps you guys could tell us. Yes, brother.
They frequently ask me that the Islam means religion of hatred. It spreads hate.
Islam spreads hate? Okay.
And how we can answer on it.
Okay. And that's excellent.
So it's
how can we deal with it? Because what happens is that someone comes to us and they have the wrong idea. We know it's the wrong idea. But then how we respond is more important than what we know. Because even though I know the answer is wrong that they said, that's not right, but still how I act is how they're going to observe Islam. If I go, hey, shut up, you know, that's not going to work. I say, you're stupid. That's not going to work. And it's also not true. They're not stupid. They're coming to you looking for an answer. So the best way that we have found is to follow the example of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. When he dealt with people, he was more kind to them than they were to him. And the Quran also teaches us to deal with them in a way that's better. Respond to them in a way that is better than they're coming to you. So if somebody comes to you and says, your religion is hatred, okay? Islam is terrorism. Then instead of saying anything about the religion, respond to the bigger subject is, you're asking me something. So, thank you for asking me about my religion. Try that. Say that. Thank you for asking me about my religion. Isn't that nice?
What does that do, Sheikh? What does that do to someone when you...
This disarms the person because they thought you were going to be ready to confront them. They're going to be ready to fight with you. They're going to be ready to debate. You're going to debate back. You're going to pretend to be Ahmadinejad Jr. or something like this. And it's not our goal.
Not at all, is it?
No, I'm hoping that this person is going to become closer to me, not further away. Doesn't Islam teach us that we all came from Adam? So if we all came from Adam, then we're brothers and sisters already in humanity. So it's now my chance to communicate with my brother. So let's try it again. Thank you for asking me about my religion. The second thing. We found four basic areas in answering that work very nice. The second of the four is to say to them, in Islam, we cannot lie. So we say, in Islam, we cannot lie. Let's try that. In Islam, we cannot lie. Okay, the third point is that Islam is having the resources available. Even if I make a mistake, they could verify whether or not I'm saying the truth anyway. Because everything in Islam is preserved. That means the Quran and the Hadith, or teachings of Muhammad, are all still there in the Arabic language. Yes? So simply put, Islam has its resources preserved in the original documentation. Islam has its resources preserved. Simple. Islam has its resources preserved.
Should someone try to answer something that they're not sure where it comes from in the Quran or Hadith, if they don't know a proper verse? Should they try to answer it in general, or should they not?
Well, again, we'll give the audience a chance here. Now, suppose somebody comes to you and asks you a question, you have no clue what the answer is, or you're not sure exactly what it is, what would you say?
I don't know.
Exactly. Now, some people will say, well, that's dumb. Anybody should know that.
Not wrong to say, I don't know, yeah.
In Islam, it's a correct answer. It counts as a blessing that you said the truth. I don't know. Now, off topic just a little, but kind of humorous. In America, we have three words that we cannot say. Should I tell you? Okay. You know this when a man gets married, right, and his wife is calling him at work. He answers the phone, he goes, oh, okay, honey, yeah, I'll pick it up on the way home. Okay, bye. Huh? Yeah, me too. Huh? Yeah, I do. Yeah. Honey, I'm at work. Yeah, I do. Yes, me too. You know, come on. He doesn't want to say what?
I love you.
I love you. He has a big problem saying I love you. I found Muslims have a big problem with three words also. They don't like to say, I don't know. They want to jump out and give an answer. So we're saying, take it easy and say, I don't know. But we can find out because we have the sources. We go back to the Quran. We go back to the teachings of Muhammad. They're preserved. There's not two versions of the Quran. There's only one. And we can ask our scholars. And we'll be rewarded for saying that. And it goes back to the rule number one, we have to tell the truth.
So by saying, I don't know, it's you're still telling the truth. But what about stuff like terrorism and is Islam a barbaric religion? It does kind of make you a bit tense. How do you overcome that and answer in a calm way, in a reasonable way?
This is very, very key. But also in your answer, you're going to be sowing seeds for the solution. So before you give the answer, the next thing is to mention this. If, now you're going to ask them a question. If you hear something you like in the answer, something better than what you have, are you going to be ready to move to what is better for you? If you hear in the answer something better than what you have, are you going to be ready to move to what's better for you? And they should say yes. And then you say, okay, let's find the answer. And say it like that. Let's find the answer. Don't say, this is the answer and you have to be a Muslim or something like that. No, because you're together. You're not drawing a line and telling them, let's square off. You're on that side, I'm on this side. You step over the line, put your arm around them, figuratively speaking, we're brothers. Let's try to find the answer. And in some cases, it's even smart to say to them, if you have something better, we would abandon what we have for what is better. Makes sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
When I came to Islam, one of the things that was said to me by the one telling me about Islam, I was trying to convert him to be a Christian. But he said, I will go to what you have if it's better than what I have. And I thought we got him. Because Christians don't have to pray five times a day. They don't have to pay zakah. They don't have to make hajj. Heck, they don't even have to be nice if they want to. They should, but they should. But they don't have these obligations on them that we have, true? And I'm telling them, hey, it's an easy religion. Christianity is easy. It is a very simple religion. But then he finished the sentence. He said, I'll go to what you have if it's better than what I have, but you need proof. I said, proof? Religion's not about proof, it's about faith. He said, in Islam, we have both. We have proof and faith. I said, wait a minute. Do you mean to sit there and tell me, as a Muslim, you can prove there is a God? He said, do you mean to sit there and tell me, as a Christian preacher, that you can't? Oops. Oh. Now, right away, I want to ask, what's the proof? Huh? But I don't want to ask, because if I do, then I'm admitting I don't know.
Yeah.
So this was like an eye-opener. It made me start thinking. Islam is providing a proof for every single thing it teaches. And in other programs, we'll probably be discussing these proofs and evidences that we have. But suffice to say that we're offering somebody now, if the answer that we offer is better than what you have, are you going to be prepared to move to what is better? That's why we want to say that. Now we give them the answer. We already discussed it in the first section of this episode.
Yeah.
We mentioned Islam is all about surrendering to God.
Yeah.
Submitting our will to God's will. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's in their prayer that they're supposed to be praying every day.
Yeah.
In addition to that is obedience to His commandments. They only know about 10, but by the way, there's more than 200 commandments in the book of Leviticus.
Yeah.
But those 10 are enough to get started, aren't they? And one of their commandments is to tell the truth. So they do have it as a commandment. And we also have this commandment. When they realize what Islam is teaching, that Islam is teaching to surrender your will to the will of God, and to do so makes you a Muslim, this really helps them to take another look. Maybe they'll have another question, but it'll be presented to you in a lot better way than the first one.
Okay, then, Sheikh, thank you very much for your time, and thank you to the studio audience. I hope we've answered some of the misconceptions, but I'm sure there are many more, because it's Islam, and I guess misconceptions in Islam come hand in hand these days. So thank you very much to everyone, and thank you for watching Misconceptions. We've had our special guest, Sheikh Yusuf Estes, and of course our studio audience. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
If you ask me who my prophet is, I will say, haven't you heard? His name is Muhammad, a mercy to the worlds, a mercy to the worlds. If you ask me who my enemy is, I will say, don't you know? If you ask me who my enemy is, he's that same old devil, that same old devil.